Hi, everyone. Happy New Year, and thank you so much for tuning in to the first episode of 2026 Beauty and the Brain. We're going to take today to look back, to rewind, and to do a recap of everything that we've done in 2025. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard. I'm so excited to look back over the past year with you guys and see some of the exciting things we've done on Beauty and the Brain. Can't wait to see what 2026 has in store for us.
Today, we're so happy to have Dr. Mark Tager join us here on the podcast.
And Mark and I met several years ago, and I've had the privilege of working with him over the past few months in a little more close setting. I can't even go over your long list of credentials. He has authored numerous textbooks. He really has trained everybody that's anybody in the aesthetics and integrative health space.
Admired your work over the years, and I'm glad we have opportunities to work together. You know, the traditional system never really made a lot of sense to me. I mean, that's what it kind of boils down to. And the amount of time that you have, this 12 to 15 minutes with a patient with complicated history, that has multiple things going on at the same time. It just seemed to me that we needed a different and better approach. So back in 1979, and I am dating myself, I set up the Institute for Preventive Medicine in Portland, Oregon. I saw patients for an hour at a time. I taught a Monday night yoga class. I had other colleagues. We had classes. We had workshops. And I was kind of onto something. The Portland Trailblazers, many of them came to see me. Then I was asked to direct health promotion for Kaiser Permanente in the Oregon region so I could reach out. And I guess there, you know, I always had this passion for wellness. My second book was called Planning for Wellness. And it was a new term then, wellness, you know, that was, but it's way back in the late 70s and early 80s. And I went on to direct health promotion for Kaiser Permanente. And I guess what I realized there was I had more of an ability to communicate one-to-many than one-to-one. So I thought that along with my communication skills, I love to write, I love video, that I would try to take a step up on a larger platform perhaps and train and teach my colleagues.
Has been a mentor to us and a lot of things that we do here at Skin and Tonic. And so we welcome Dr. Charles Runnels to join us on the podcast today.
Yeah, Charles has really been a personal friend. And I say all the time, I probably talk about Charles Runnels more than any other doctor I've ever referred to. So I tell stories in every way that you could imagine, Charles. So I'm sure you've got quite a bit of pushback and controversy over the years when you've talked about your views on sexual well-being in males and females.
Let me just start with the controversy, and it's hidden in the definitions. If you, I don't know if you know this, but flimbanserin, which it's okay, it was the first FDA-approved drug to help females with sexual function. But, you know, we have over 20 to help men, drugs and devices. They got their first one, flimbanserin, and it's a psych drug, but the first company to try to get it approved, it didn't work. They couldn't push it through, and there was pushback, resistance from the sex therapy community. Like, why would female sex therapists resist the approval of a drug to help with sex? And I'm getting to that. And I don't think it's the best drug on the market. The research showed that you average one extra sexual encounter if you're on it per month. And you have to take it every day. You can't be drinking alcohol with it. It's an okay drug, but we need better. If you look at the definition, to have sexual function, there's a key clue in the definition. To be counted as having female sexual dysfunction, you have to be psychologically distressed. Now, there is no other medical problem I know of in all of Harrison's textbook, and I'm an internist, where you don't get the diagnosis for a physical problem unless you have a psychological reaction to it. For example, if you have hypertension and you're not bothered by it, but your blood pressure is 150 over 110, you still got hypertension. Let's go sex. If you cannot get an erection, but you don't want a lover, you're living alone, but you cannot get an erection, you still have erectile dysfunction. And if your erection is curved, but you don't want to use it, you still got peronies. But if you have painful intercourse and it hurts to have something inside of your vagina, or you cannot have an orgasm, or you have a low sex drive and you're a female, but you're okay with it, you by definition do not have sexual dysfunction. Now, why would you do that? And this is pointing out, I think, some of the pushback. When I first came out with the O-Shot, I thought, I got so many angry sex therapists.
Coming from a PhD
background in chemical engineering, being in a technical role, leading conferences, to now being the you know, CEO of your own company and developing really kind of this fun experience for individuals. I want you to tell me a little bit about what that's like, what that looks like from the consumer side, because we have clients and we have patients and we have listeners that would be interested in having their own sort of retreat. And I think people feel that this is so far-fetched, so out of reach, that they would never think that, hey, I can call someone and they can plan this for me and it's actually cost-effective and reasonable. And it can be really of any interest. It can be around yoga or aesthetics or business planning, any of those things, really, ghostwriting, you just said. So this wide range of professionals could have these retreats, but they don't even know where to start. So what does that process look like if they use someone like you?
Yeah, the process really starts with, you know, getting to know you, your vision, your business, your purpose. What do you want a retreat to look like? Because there are so many. The important thing about a retreat is that you go somewhere away from the day-to-day. And it doesn't have to be Fiji or far away. It could just be, you know, an Airbnb an hour from your home or something. But you get people out of their everyday place and into a place where they can be, they can think, they can connect with nature, they can connect with each other. So the process is we start and, you know, we kind of look at what's your vision. Do you like beaches? Do you like mountains? Do you like lakes? Do you want something historical? What are you excited about? You know, I'm talking to someone who was thinking about doing like a quilting retreat because we're for people that quilt and they something like that. So it can really be about anything. But once I learn what they're looking for, you know, and what kind of budget do they have? You know, what do they, you know, because if you can do a retreat where it's a couple days and, you know, people pay a couple $1,000s a person, and you can do a retreat that's $20,000 a person and anything in between. So figuring that out. And then what I do is I kind of look at, based on that vision and those ideas, come up with some places that would be nice. You know, do you want it glamping? Do you want something more upscale? Do you want something more outdoorsy? And I've spent a lot of time, you know, researching and talking to people. I know probably hundreds of people that own retreat locations. So I kind of come up with a, you know, 4 to 5 possibilities, and we talk about that and we see what makes sense. And then we pick a date and a time and we book that. And so at that point we figure out, okay, what's the budget? What's the total cost going to be? And we make sure that the retreat is profitable. If it's for a business, it's profitable. Some corporations or people might want to do it as a team building retreat. In that case, they're not going to charge people. They're just going to bring their team.
Mr. Sam Leonelli, a serial entrepreneur, it sounds like, that Chris recently had the opportunity to meet and get to know. We're happy to have you join us. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you met him last week?
Yeah. So I met him at a show called The Blocks. And so some of you guys remember Jerry and I were on The Blocks more than a year ago now. We filmed our season. And so it's a reality competition show for entrepreneurs. And Sam was competing on the show as one of the entrepreneurs. I was invited back to be a judge. So it was my first time having the privilege to go back and serve as kind of a business coach or judge on the season. And I got to meet Sam during his time there participating. So before we go too far along, Sam, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, your experience on The Blocks, and what's going on in your life these days?
Sam Linelli, my main business now is Combat Syndicate, which is a jiu-jitsu. So we teach jiu-jitsu, MMA, self-defense, and then we also have a 24/7 weightlifting gym. But yeah, so that's what I was competing on The Blocks with. I have some other businesses. I own an ice cream store, and I've owned a bar and med spa, a little bit of random everything. But yeah, the Blocks was it was a very mentally draining week, but it was awesome. I learned a lot. I have like so many notes that I haven't even had a chance to go through yet, because I'm just like trying to like decompress. But it was definitely not what I thought it would be. I did a lot of reading on it before I went, and I was like kind of up in the air on like what I was getting into, because I was like, is this going to be like some scam thing or something? And it ended up being an awesome experience, and you know, and met a lot of great people there. So I'm definitely glad I took the chance to try it.
Yeah, it was interesting because we were debating during the show, had we met years ago in Vegas at an aesthetics conference? So you had your little venture in the med spa industry for a while, and we couldn't put the time frame together if we were actually there together or not. Did you ever figure it out?
No, I'm just going to assume that, there's just a good chance we were all in Vegas at some point there.
There's a good chance we were all there together at some point.
I'm curious about the ice cream store. All the things that sounds to me, I'd like to combine a little ice cream store here in the med spa, serving some GLP-1s and some soft serve ice cream.
I'm telling you, I sent them to the ice cream store and then I got the gym so I can get them back in shape. It's just we're just rotating.
There you go.
So Sam, one of the things that I found really incredible about you, and I don't know if you're okay with talking about this or not, but if you are, do you mind talking a little bit about your upbringing, kind of your childhood? Because I think it's amazing what you were able to overcome and how successful you are. So I think that's a lot of inspiration for people who are struggling or going through things in life and they can't see the road ahead. And yet here you are, multiple businesses, successful entrepreneur, you know, on reality shows, and really overcome a lot in your childhood.
I'll go all the way back to kind of the beginning and still try to keep it somewhat short because I had like a wild, wild life. So it's a lot.
We have no time restriction. I mean, we have another guest a little bit later today, but you can say whatever you want.
I won't go through the entire storybook, but yeah. So when I was born in New Jersey, when I was around 5 or 6 years old, my mom's loaded us up, all of us kids, up out of our bedroom window and loaded us in the bed of a pickup truck. And we moved to Las Vegas. It was the last time I seen my dad. And then when we got to Vegas, that's when life kind of got real crazy. My mom had a lot of not very good relationships. And so our life would go from like, we would be stable in a decent home to we would be in a homeless shelter. And then we would get out of a homeless shelter and maybe we'd live in a trailer park for a while and something would blow up there and then we'd be back in a homeless shelter. Or it was just constantly just decent life to, you know, homeless. Or I lived in all kinds of different situations because it was just constantly changing. I figured it up one time. By the time I was 18, I had lived in like 20 different cities and I was never in the same school for more than a few months. I always did well in school. I was pretty smart, but it was just constant. Like I was the new kid every 3 months, you know, which was kind of cool in a way because I got to make up a new story of who I was. But we just, my entire childhood was just mass chaos. My mom was gone a lot because she was working, trying to take care of 4 kids by herself. Honestly, I don't know why she just didn't dump us off at McDonald's and drive off because it wasn't easy on her either. And we got in a lot of trouble. Like we didn't have any supervision and we were out, you know, tearing stuff up and just stealing things and doing terrible stuff because we were bored. You know, we lived in houses where we didn't have electricity. We're like heating up water on the stove to pour in the bathtub to take baths. I mean, it was just, it was constantly changing. So like you think of somebody that, you know, lives, you know, kind of a, I don't know, I guess poor growing up, usually like the life they have is stable throughout the time. So like, not only was I living that life, I was also like getting put in these places where we had a good life and then it would be right back to this. So it was just constantly just like mentally, just like ripping you back and forth between like good and bad, good and bad, good and bad.
So how is running a farm like running a med spa?
Oh goodness.
You deal with difficult things and you figure out how to make it work in the best way. And hopefully nobody comes out damaged. And so whether it's us as people or whether it's the animals, ultimately we want good outcomes in both locations. And so.
But I think it's interesting. I mean, I'll take it from the business side of things because we do this. And I think there's so many business principles that you can literally apply to all sorts of different industries. And you know, that's where I have so much fun and looking at that with like my Dr. Crowley brand and the business coaching consulting. So when you look at it, you have basically a product, you have to identify a need in the market, and then you look at customer acquisition channels and how do you get customers to match up with the problem that you're solving. So in this case, you know, there's a need for clean, high quality lamb meat. So people don't want meat that tastes gamey. And so we found, you know, kind of an ideal breed for that. We specialize in it. And from that, then we identify our customers, how they're going to find us, and then we have to market that and then know how to price it right so that we can actually, you know, maintain this farm. Obviously it you know, takes money to maintain all this around here. So how, I think that's the same. So we do it in the aesthetic industry, we do it in the education industry. So you can really apply that same model, I think, in a lot of different formats.
It comes down to quality. And the thing Chris briefly mentioned, that when you're raising sheep for a meat purpose. We often hear, you hear about mutton, that's an older sheep, and sometimes people have to wait until they're older to be able to harvest the meat because they need to be a certain weight. And so if you have a poor quality sheep, they grow really slowly. And so that's why we did invest in like a good reproduction line, a good pedigree. And so these babies that you see now are really like some just over a month old. So they have really low birth weight. So they have easy births and they grow rapidly. So they're ready to sell before they're 8 months old.
This is the part I'm telling you is like stressing me out because they all want it. Come on, girls.
Go back, and just go, and I'll let them.
Come on.
Come on.
Here you go. Come on. Everybody take a turn.
Come on.
They're gonna tackle.
I know what you're not thankful for. You're not thankful that Popeyes discontinued their strawberry biscuit.
I thought when he said strawberry, it was gonna be about the biscuit.
I thought it was gonna be about the biscuit.
No, I love those little like Hershey Kisses strawberry ice cream cone. They're so delicious.
That's exciting. I'm thankful I'm done with weddings for the year.
For the year, we're at the end of the year.
I don't have any on the books though either, which is crazy and so nice.
That's good.
Got them all married off. Now it'll be baby time. Because you do have a baby something coming up.
I have two baby showers coming up.
I think it is a time of year that we like slow down a lot. It's time that we kind of spend more time with family and we start thinking about all the little things that go on that we kind of take for granted day to day. Certainly, I think all of us do that. We all have really busy schedules and lives and are running around. And so it's really a time to stop and slow down and look at all that. I mean, certainly professionally speaking, I'm happy and thankful for our clients here at Skin and Tonic for all the things because we've grown year over year and we couldn't do it without our clients. I mean, really, that's what makes us grow. That's what makes us have Skin and Tonic. And so without them, we couldn't do all of that. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty in the Brain. We're really excited for you guys to see what we have in store for you for 2026. We have a new studio.
New studio design, lots of new topics, new things coming forward. So if you have any ideas, be sure to share those with us.
Yeah, we have some really exciting guests coming up this year. So stay tuned for a whole new season, new year with Beauty in the Brain.
Happy New Year.